All right. All right. Sunday morning, 8:24. The title of this is For Such a Time as This. We're going to turn to the book of Esther.
Is this Prophet's Corner?
Yep. TPC. Esther chapter 4. I was reading about Esther in the Apocrypha. There's a lot more to that story that wasn't put or was taken out. She was so afraid to go before the king, she collapsed.
I believe it.
Yeah. All right, 4:13. We're going to start with verse 13 there. Kind of a famous quote from the book of Esther that most people quote. They can't probably think of anything else in that book, but this one. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" So she took heart to what he said. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, "Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Jerusalem, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Now we know the outcome. 5:3. Then said the king unto her, "What wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be given thee to half of the kingdom." So what happened? He held out the golden scepter. This is Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. It talks about the golden scepter. We can come before God's throne at any time. The golden scepter is always extended right here. "But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom." So the golden scepter has been extended to us. We have an audience with the Lord when we anytime we desire. All right, here's my thoughts here. I have believed for a while now that we are currently in the battle of Armageddon. I also believe that Jesus is coming in the flesh. I also believe that when he comes, he will not be coming alone. Scriptures bear it out. All right, we're going to look at Revelation chapter 19. We've been traditionally taught to be spectators and not participators. That's why most people don't care what's going on. Oh, the rapture's coming. Got my suitcase packed. Me and mine. We're ready to go. And there's where it stops. It doesn't matter that there's probably billions of people, not billions, maybe. But millions anyway, fixing to lose their lives and going to a devil's hell. That's why I can't stress enough. to people that the book of Revelation were dreams and visions given to John, and they are to be discerned, because the word revelation means decode. This is the decode. This is God's plan for the end of days. So what happens with dreams and visions? There's an interpretation. There's where the decode comes in. Revelation is about the coming of Jesus Christ. A lot of people today don't believe that he's coming in that way. Oh, he's just a consciousness, you know, Christ consciousness. It is not. All right, 19, 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now most people believe, well, that's the people that have gone, died before us, they're the ones coming. Others think it's his armies of angels. Well, the other day I was reading this and I said, Lord, there's just, it amazes me how much you can show me from this book. They're wrong on both counts. I mean, I don't know about those that are resurrected, but it talks about that after the between the Battle of Armageddon, beginning before, not Armageddon, but Gog and Magog, about the first resurrection. So I'm thinking, well, if they've already died, then that wouldn't be the case, would it? You know, they're not resurrected yet, right? Because there's a judgment coming right here. That's over in chapter 20 there. So this is a conclusion that I've come to. I'll read to you what I wrote down. Most Christians would assume that the armies of heaven would be the angels and probably those that have passed away. The Lord has given me a different take on it, one that I have not seen before. Traditional church dogma has Christians waiting to escape and not participate. God has always wanted us to participate in what he is doing. Isn't that why Jesus came the first time? He said he was coming back again and he will not be alone, because he has his wife with him. Who's his wife? We are the body of Christ. You can look that look on your face if you want to, but I'm telling you this. You go over there and read about the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's what this chapter is about. All right. Verse 7 here. 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come and his wife hath made herself ready. What? He's coming to the wedding and she's not invited? Can't make this stuff up. I didn't make it up. I'm telling you, this is a book that has to be decoded. You take it at face value, you will lose the whole meaning of it. All right, 21, chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven, the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride ordained for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and will be my son. Well, that body of Christ that's overcoming with him, that's what chapter 19 is about. He's overthrowing. He's taking the crowns, and he's stacking them on his head. His church is seated with him in heavenly places. That's why they're coming with him. Where are you seated? You just down here just looking for a crumb? It's not as we have been taught. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burning with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, Come hither. I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. This is the new Jerusalem, guys. Do I believe there's a structure coming? I don't know. But I know we are the living stones building up a holy tabernacle to the Lord. I know we are. We are. Peter says that. I don't know. When he showed me this, I thought, who knew? Well, you knew. If we're seated with him in heavenly places, when he comes, we'll be coming with him. Why would he leave us there? Because he's given the earth to men. What's 1,000 years all about? Ruling and reigning. All right, God's temple, 2 Corinthians 6. Verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? You know, we need to get a picture of who we really are and where we are really seated. I mean, we get all bogged down in this muck down here, but the real truth of it is we're seated with him. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, and God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Ephesians chapter 2. There's several scriptures that give reference to where we are seated. Who we are. This is Ephesians 2, starting with 19. Where's God's house? Would you say it's in heaven? Right here. Now therefore, you're no more, verse 19, strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. That new Jerusalem coming down, that symbolizes us, the born again, the blood bought. All right, 2:6 there of Ephesians. And hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All right. What's the purpose? Romans 5:17. If by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Isn't he coming for the reign? All right. That's why he's coming. Go back to chapter 19. Did I read all of it? Did I read all of 19?
Revelation?
Yeah. Well, I'll start at verse 1 and what I won't repeat what I've already read. Chapter 19, verse 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for a true and righteous are his judgment. For he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication. What do you think we've been doing for these 7 years or 8 years nearly? For true and righteous are his judgment. He's waking everyone up. You know the virgins? For true and righteous are his judgment. I mean, wasn't that about a wedding? We'll look at that in a minute. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he had judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia. The Lord God omniponeth reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. And his wife had made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. What's been happening? The tares have been coming out of the wheat, haven't they? What's going to be left? The bride in white. Okay. Let's go over to Matthew 25. Some woke up, some didn't. I don't know when the cutoff point is. God does. We just keep trying to wake them up as much as we can as the opportunity presents itself. All right. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, verse 1 of 25, Matthew, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, 5 were wise. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels and with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. See, they're going to be late. Say, well, I'm sorry. We tried to wake you up for years. But you wasn't having any of it. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Yeah, he's coming. It's a marriage supper. And the marriage supper is we're going to watch the destruction of what we call the deep state. Yeah. It's not going to heaven while all the yuck goes on down here. No, we'll be here. All right. It doesn't make any sense that the bride would not be invited to the wedding and the supper. All right. He has come to judge with the word of God, and we, his wife, the body of Christ, think of marriage as one flesh. The sword that will be used will come out of his mouth, and he will rule with a rod of iron. All right. And the man, in verse 10 of Revelation 19, John falls down to worship, and he says, "Don't worship me. I'm a fellow servant." He didn't say, "I'm an angel." He says, "I'm a fellow servant." He's disclosing these facts to John. I believe we are active participants, not bystanders in these events. Isn't that what the president did the moment after he was inaugurated? He hit the ground running to begin to bring full disclosure and cover all the bases concerning what had happened to this earth. All right. He put executive orders in place to start judgment of the Babylonian whore. Right here, executive order 13818. The executive order blocking the property of persons involved in serious human rights abuse or corruption, issued 12/21/17. Is that 7 years ago? If you listen to Melissa Redpill, she says, I don't know if it's at his inauguration that there was the sign of the Son of Man in the heavens. Executive Order 13959, Executive Order on addressing the threat from securities investments that finance communist Chinese military companies, issued 11/12/20. Executive Order 13848. Executive Order on imposing certain sanctions in the event of foreign interference in a United States election, issued 9/12/18. Don't think for a minute that he's not been at work, and he's still at work. He's God's, he's the one that bears the sword, and he doesn't bear it for nothing. Executive Order 13919, ordering the select reserve of the armed forces to active duty, issued 4/30/20. Executive Order 13958. Executive Order establishing the President's advisory of the 1776 Commission, issued 11/2/20. That's bringing God back into our school system, teaching our children. All of this, and that's just a few. All of this does not convince you that you need to go and read Derek Johnson's book, The Midnight Rider Rides Again. He has all the executive orders in there when they were put in place. He doesn't miss an I or miss crossing the T. All right, this operation is not stopped, but is on schedule. And us as the Bride of Christ, we've been participating with him in the judgment of the great whore. The beast system deeply entrenched in our world, or has been. Many Christians have just been spectators in this plan from the mind of God, but many of us have been actively doing our part. We're reigning with him, not just watching it all unfold. That's what the Lord's been using us to take out authorities. What happens when you take out an authority? You get a crown. Jesus is putting that crown, it says, on his head, because he's the one's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron down here with us. All right. Revelation 20, the best part. And I saw an angel, verse 1, come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up to the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. All right. We know this is the end game because Israel has been saved for last. Not God's Israel, but those that Jesus said were of the synagogue of Satan, that say they were Jews and are not. Satan is cornered like a wild animal in his holy place, and his only place in the world is where he still has a foothold, is there. But not for long. The golden age is upon us, and we are all waiting for the go. The restoration of our republic and the rest of the world is about to begin, and it has been an honor and a privilege to be part of it. The Lord said it will be like a garden back to Eden. It will be planted, and it will begin to grow. All right, Matthew 13. It's a process. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. A fin means a trap stick, which I'm not sure what that is, a bent sapling, a snare, cause of displeasure or sin, or a stumbling block. In any other words, there are not going to be any more stumbling blocks. Jesus does not act independently of his body. Does your body operate independently of you? No. Will he come physically to the earth at the end of this? I'm not sure how it's all going to work out. I know he is coming again. He said he was coming, and it's many times in Scripture. Anyway, Matthew 24. Because during this 7-year period, his church has been the ones that have been taking down the strongholds. It reminds me of Brother Hagin, Claire Grace, having that vision when Jesus come through the doors of the church on a white horse surveying the troops. That's what it sounds like in Revelation, you know? All right, 24, 26 and 27. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chamber. Believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Yeah. All right, 42. Watch therefore, ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. In 44, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. So nobody knows. All right, Hebrews 10. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. What day? His coming. All right, Revelation 22:12. He says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. Okay, Revelation 1, 7 and 8. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. So he knows alive. All right, 3:11, Revelation. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. So if we're seated in heavenly places, we're crowned. It says it right here, don't let any man take your crown. We've already been crowned. Acts chapter 1. Starting, well, just two verses there, 10 and 11. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So he's coming back. All right, a few more. 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. He didn't want us to be ashamed. We're waiting for him. Philippians 1:6. Where did you go, Philippians? There you are. Wait a minute. There you are. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now look up, your redemption draweth nigh. Okay, Jude. Jude 14:19. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment. Upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurs, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who would walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Okay. One more, Old Testament, Job. Job 19, 25. Job makes this statement, For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. So if anybody tells you they don't believe he's coming again, get your Strong's Concordance out and look them up, the scriptures, and give it to them. There's a man that has written a song. I heard it one time, and I wasn't really hearing what he was saying. But I came across it again. And he's a country and western singer, I guess. He's a Christian, but he said, most of the time when he writes a song, he gets his pad and his pen and writes it down. But he said, this particular time, he said, it's like an anointing came on him. And within an hour, he had this written. He said it was supernatural. He said he'd never had anything really, except one other time, happen to him. And this is what it says. This man's name is John Rich. Verse 1, it says, Dancing in the flames. It's about Jesus coming. Dancing in the flames, the people curse his name, bowed at the altar of the Father of lies. But there's a number to their days, and all their evil ways, the Lord's going to turn away from all their cries. Here's the chorus. Oh, revelation, I can feel it coming like a dark train running. Oh, get ready, because the King is coming. The King is coming back again. He's got that country twang, you know, the King is coming back again, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's a good song. All right, that's the chorus. Just a minute, Verse 2, brimstone upon their heads, millstones around their necks. They'll feel the shaking when the trumpet sounds, and no matter where they hide, there'll be nowhere to run when Jesus puts his mighty foot on the ground. Then he sings the chorus again. Oh, revelation, I feel it coming like a dark train running. Oh, get ready, because the King is coming. The King is coming back again. Verse 3. When judgment comes like a lightning flash, their voice will wail and their teeth will gnash. He'll set fire to their evil wants and all the wickedness they've done. There'll be no time to turn around as the stars begin to hit the ground. And the mountains fall and the veil is torn when the sounding of that seventh horn, and then he goes into the chorus again. And then the outtake. So wrote the prophet John, before his days were done, the King is coming and it won't be long. So God's coming on somebody like this that normally doesn't even operate in this kind of thing and giving him this song, and he said you put the best graphics you can to it with your skill set and get it out there. And the video shows this angel. He looks more like Hulk Hogan to me, but anyway, it wasn't. But it's between Satan and an angel. It's like the battle's about to begin, the clash. The video that he shows, so it'll reach a skill set of people that maybe won't hear us, but they'll hear somebody singing a song that they like the tune to get the message out, he's coming.
What's the name of that song?
Revelation something.
Oh, okay.
It's just called Revelation by John Rich. Okay. Is his name? Yeah.